How are we doing?
Good.
Okay. We're going to start with some prayers. So in the gold prayer book on page 34, the top is Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra. We'll say that three times, and then we'll do the four immeasurables one time in English on this page. So we'll just say these together. Tayata Omune Mune Mahamunaye Soha. Tayata Omune Mune Mahamunaye Soha. Tayata sentient beings have happiness in the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then on page 37, Donna is going to lead us in the chanting version of this Four Immeasurables, and then we'll say Tenrei Zig's mantra 8 times and Green Tara's 7 times.
Sam Chen Tong Che De Wa Dong De
My name is Karen Edwards, and I'm a member and student of the Kadampa Center, and I've been involved in various projects at the Kadampa Center from children's camp and helping Light in the Path retreat. So I'm really happy to be here today to facilitate a discussion.
My name is Erin Sloan, and I have also been a member for a really long time, since 2002 or 2003. I've done a lot with the children's program. And right now I'm assisting the Discovering Buddhism teachers on Monday night.
So we'll start by setting our intention for our time together. So first I just wanted to recognize and rejoice in all the things that had to happen for you all to get here today. You had no doubt supportive people and conditions that came together so you could be here today. So just wanted to celebrate that. And just also wanted to think about this wonderful opportunity where we do have safety and freedom to take some time to think about our inner experiences and cultivate our positive qualities like love, compassion, and patience, and to reduce our negative states of mind so that we can truly be a benefit to others. So what we have prepared today are several videos from His Holiness the Dalai Lama. So he will be our Dharma teacher today. So Erin and I are just here to facilitate some discussion and try to draw out some points from what we hear. So if you were here last week, it'll be a little bit similar. But we have envisioned more time for you to talk to your neighbors in small groups as a way to kind of get to know each other and share some of your thinking and ideas with each other. But, of course, feel free to participate however is comfortable for you. So that role of being a listener is a really good role, or being an observer as well. So just, I guess the idea is just feel comfortable.
Okay. I think we'll start with a little grounding meditation. I'm going to lead some hand movements, 14 hand movements. Geshe Gelug has taught this to us before. I think Donna did a great job with 9-round breathing last week, so I wanted to do something different than we did last week. Basically, these 14 hand movements you're just going to do very slowly. I'm going to go through them quickly so that we can learn them, and then you'll kind of do them at your own pace. Maybe take a breath, do the movement, and then we'll take another couple deep breaths, and just kind of, it's meant to calm the mind. I find that when I get really sped up, it helps me slow down a lot. So you can do this anytime. It's pretty quick. So you're going to start with both hands on your knees, palms down. And you're going to use your right hand. And I'm actually going to use my left hand only so that if you're looking at me, you can just kind of mirror me. These are the 14 movements. So you take your right hand and you open it up as 1. Lift it as 2. Put it on your lower belly as 3. You lift your other hand, 4. Raise it in the air, 5. Put it right above that other hand, that's 6. Now you take this lower hand and put it on your heart, that's 7. Open it back up, 8. Down, 9. On your knee is 10. Take this hand, put it on your heart. So that's 11. Open it up, 12. Down is 13. And back on your knee is 14. So it's basically opening it up and raising to your belly, opening up, putting that hand above, and then you have to remember to put this one to your heart before you go back down, and then also this hand to your heart before you go back down. And you don't have to count, and it's not like yoga, you're not matching your breath to your movements, as far as I know. I don't believe that was how it was taught. So you're just kind of breathing however is natural and moving your hands slowly, so you're kind of like helping yourself slow down and calming your mind at the same time. Okay. So you can, I'm going to keep my eyes closed because it helps me, and you're welcome to watch me or do it with your eyes closed. I'm just going to take a couple breaths and then begin the movement.
If you're still moving, that's fine. If you're breathing, notice how your chest expands when you inhale and how everything kind of softens when you exhale, and relax into that softening. When you're ready, you can open your eyes, relax your movement. And you can do it multiple times, too. Sometimes I do the first one, and I'm like, wow, I did that really fast, and then I just do it again to, like, actually slow down. So we're in the quote.
Okay. So I have been thinking a lot about this verse that Geshe-la shared a few weeks ago in a teaching, and it's just been really, like, churning for me over and over in my mind as a really, like, something really tidy and sort of compact that we can take with us for daily life, for daily practice. So just wanted to, this is going to kind of guide our thinking today, and I wanted to share it. And I thought maybe if somebody who has some great oratory skills might like to read it aloud. Is there any?
With sail hoisted of the sincerest of minds, driven by winds of unflagging effort, on this well-built ship of study, thought, and meditation, may I bring living beings from samsara's ocean.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That I'm like,
like, so
that
qualifies.
That really helped.
That's good oratory.
So this verse comes from Lama Tsongkhapa, A Prayer for the Beginning, Middle, and End of Practice. And one thing I just really appreciate, many things I appreciate about Geshe-la. Oh, and by the way, he's not here because he's traveling in Nepal for several weeks working on securing our Lama Atisha statue. So that will, you'll probably hear more about that at the end. So one thing Geshe Gelug is so wonderful at is just pulling these verses from his, you know, vast knowledge and memory of all the things he studied and just giving them to us at great times. So I'm going to share a little bit of what he taught on it. So the first line was sail hoisted of the sincerest of minds. So first you raise your pure intention like a sail. So setting that positive intention, really thinking like, why am I doing this? What do I hope to gain out of this? What's my purpose here? And really setting our positive intention if you're listening, studying, or explaining the Dharma. So it's particularly appropriate as we're sitting right here. The second line, driven by winds of unflagging effort. So if you think about a sailboat, I don't know much about sailing, but I guess what I imagine is that how you turn the sail and how much wind you have points the boat where you need to go. So our joyful effort is like the wind. And so we need to create the wind. We need to create the causes for our boat to, you know, take us across towards the other shore to end our suffering and the suffering of all beings. So we should be happy to listen and happy to do because we're working towards this greater cause. So even when it's difficult to understand or we feel like we have so many obstacles, we have to keep creating this wind and just generating this unflagging effort. And so the third line on this well-built ship of study, thought, and meditation. So Geshe-la explained that, you know, the boat is like our knowledge. Whatever knowledge we have right now, that's our boat. And this knowledge comes from listening, hearing, reading, thinking about, and meditating on the teachings and sort of reflecting on our own experience of that. So they become just sort of held in our heart. And then finally, may I bring living beings from samsara's ocean. So he explained, like, we don't need to do anything about samsara's ocean. Like, that's there. It's already there. But we can really recall to mind that aspiration to bring this huge motivation of helping all beings. And our efforts are motivated for the benefit of others. So we're going to focus on that second line, like, what happens when our efforts are flagging a little bit and we feel like our boat's not moving?
Okay. And then on the next slide, I think.
Yes.
So that kind of sets our intention for the day, but we also wanted to highlight a holiday for this week, Chokor Dutin. So it's related to our topic. It's also a very special day happening this week. It's a holy day, a Buddha day, and this is the anniversary of Shakyamuni Buddha's first teaching, the first turning of the wheel of Dharma. So turning of the wheel is his first teaching. So it happens this Thursday, July 27th, on our calendar. So you need a Tibetan calendar to figure out originally when these things are. It's always the fourth day of the sixth month on the Tibetan calendar. And then what I do is around May, I think, well, summer's coming up. There's going to be a few important holidays coming up. So 6 or 7 weeks ago, we had Sakadawa, which was also a Buddha day, and that is the birth of Shakyamuni Buddha, and also, I think it's 35 years later, the day of his enlightenment, and then on his 80th birthday, passing away. And so after he became enlightened, 7 weeks later, I think, he gets his first teaching. So on our Kadampa Center website, these holidays are listed there. So if it becomes May, you can kind of prepare yourself and go, oh, let's look up those holy days that typically happen during the summer. It does depend on the translation with the Tibetan calendar. And also, we just celebrated the birthday of His Holiness on July 6th. We use our calendar for that, so that's easier to remember. But all those special things happen during the summer here, and so it's nice to just keep that connection going. And it's not part of our culture to think of these days. We think of summer as vacation and going to the beach, but we can also kind of make this connection. Like I said, it is Buddha's first teaching. We are really used to having access to these teachings. I haven't ever thought about not having access to them. But if you think about it, it's pretty amazing. And I mentioned that I've done a lot with the children's program. I also have 2 kids, so I read a lot of books like this. This is Prince Siddhartha, The Story of the Buddha by Jonathan Landau and Janet Brooke. And so when he tells this story of Shakyamuni Buddha becoming enlightened, he says that Buddha himself was filled with the highest happiness. His mind, free from all darkness and pain, felt a boundless joy. For days and weeks, he stayed near the Tree of Enlightenment, enjoying the bliss and happiness only a Buddha knows. Then he thought, it was so difficult for me to reach the end of suffering and become a Buddha. I had to work so hard for so long. When I see how blind and ignorant most people are, I wonder if there's anyone who could possibly understand the truths I've discovered. How could I teach them? Perhaps it is better for me to live in the rest of my life in the forest alone and enjoy the happiness of being a Buddha myself. And that could have been the end of that story. But the way that Landau tells it, he heard an inner voice which said, please don't forget us. We are the suffering beings of the world. We've been waiting for this moment ever since your birth and even before that. We've hoped and prayed these many years that you would leave the princely life and discover the way to end all suffering. Now that you have found this path, please teach us. Unlike you, we are still suffering. And so he goes on to think about the other holy men that he had studied in the forest with and gets a group together, goes to Deer Park, and kind of lets them know what he's been up to. And they say, please teach us. Please tell us what you have learned. And so he does. And this idea kind of leads to the formation of the Sangha, which is our community of disciples committed to following the Buddha's path. They live simply, they follow the path, they teach the Dharma. We think of Sangha a lot often as the monks and nuns who are here. I don't see a way that we would have the teachings available to us today without the Sangha. I don't see how it would be possible. So because of that, FPMT has International Sangha Day, so they encourage us at this time of year to celebrate the presence of our Sangha community, and I think we're told a lot at the center how fortunate we are. And if you would like, you can go to the Kadampa Center's website. And so on Thursday, on the calendar, click on Chokur Duchen, and you'll be led to a resource, a page called Sangha Support and Offerings. And you could read more about that. Robbie Watkins did a talk in 2012, and you can listen to that talk and find out more about the Sangha, find out about opportunities. The Kadampa Center does make an offering to our Sangha on behalf of the center, but if you've ever thought about writing a card or saying thank you or making an offering, it's a great day to do that. So what is happening at the center on that day? Each time there's a holy day, there's something's going to happen. It kind of depends on who's in town and how we've planned and who's offered their time. What's scheduled for this Thursday is at 11 a.m. an animal blessing and liberation. My kids and I came on Sakadawa for that, and we didn't have any animals to bless. We do have a hamster, but my son thought the hamster would be too nervous, so we didn't bring him this time. But there were several people with their dogs, and we still got to say the prayers and see the animals and walk around the stupa. We got a chance to participate in the animal liberation, which was saving some worms, and it was just a lovely time, and it's a great, you can just come to the center, make a quick connection. Also a great day to make any kind of offerings, and it doesn't take long to stop by. At 7 p.m. that night, there's the Shakyamuni Buddha Puja, and the main point of that puja is to develop your faith in the Buddha and to think about all the wonderful things he's done. There's offerings and prayers, but again, all you have to do is bring yourself. You can come along, pick up a prayer book, follow along as much as you can, and you get better at it as you go. So I would just encourage you personally to check out what you can and just remember these days during the summer because they're very, very special. And then on the next slide, we also wanted to just at least kind of state the Four Noble Truths. This is the content of Buddha's first teaching. So it's explained in a lot of ways. The kind of traditional way is the truth of suffering, the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, the path to the cessation of suffering, a lot of suffering. but really, it's a very positive message. A lot of times we use the analogy of the doctor to kind of explain what these things are. So our doctor does tell us what's wrong, and they tell us the cause of our illness, and that there is a cure, and then they tell us how to get well. The other kind of summary that's up there comes from a book called The Mindful Child by Susan Kaiser Greenland. Again, because these are three sources I use quite a lot. I think she explains it pretty well, though. You know, we can even talk with our youngest students on a level of, does life have ups and downs? Sure. You know, sometimes we want vanilla chocolate cake and we get vanilla. And we talk about how we can make things harder. You know, if we have a lot of expectations, if we have a lot of attachments and we build these things up, we end up, you know, with these huge disappointments and things like that. But happiness is within reach. In the children's program, we use the 16 guidelines to talk about how to have positive thought and action. But really, those are the things that are going to lead us to happiness. And I wanted to read one more time from this book about the fourth noble truth. This path leads to the end of all suffering. If we avoid harming all other living beings, if we sharpen and focus our mind, and if we gain wisdom, each of us can reach perfect happiness, the end of all misery. So that's a pretty positive note. again, we wanted to just kind of share these points. They're core to the teachings. It was Buddha's first teaching.
So we're going to turn now to a qualified Dharma teacher. We're going to watch our first video from His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And we wanted to address introduce the Four Noble Truths because he's going to be really honing in on the essence of those teachings. So first we'd like you to think about, when you're listening, these three questions. If you can kind of catch this from what he's saying, what is the cause of suffering? Can we eliminate it? And what do we have that makes it possible to eliminate suffering? Okay, so these kind of have these in your mind. And then I just wanted to explain something beforehand. He's going to start off talking about afflictive emotions. So he'll go right into that, and just wanted to preview that for you. These are also called kleshas in Sanskrit. And we have five main ones. The three biggies, anger, attachment, and ignorance, plus jealousy and pride. So he says in this little book, which is one little resource that I've used for today, generally speaking, afflictive emotions and thoughts are defined as those which the mere occurrence creates immediate disturbance within our mind. Then they afflict from within. So you can kind of listen for this, how this afflictive emotion works for us. Okay. There we go.
So now, the important thing is that affective emotion, is the ultimate, the enemy, or the source of suffering. And also that is the affective emotion. Once it develops within our mind, it immediately destroys our peace of mind. And eventually destroy our happiness. And also to destroy our friendship with other people. So all the negative activities, such as killing, bullying, cheating, all these negative actions, come out of this freaking emotion. So that's the real enemy. That's the destroyer of our peace, destroyer of our fortune, and including our health. So therefore that's the enemy, the real enemy. External enemy, today may be harmful to you, but next day may be great help. But this is the inner enemy. Always remain as a destructive. And moreover, that enemy, wherever you live, always there. That's the dangerous. External enemy, we can put some defensive in Asia. On also the like the 59, we escaped. So you see, we can escape. But there is this enemy, even whether in Tibet, or whether in Potala, whether in Damsala, whether in here in the main London, enemy, wherever I go, this enemy there. Even I in somewhere meditation, somewhere with the visualization of mandala, still in the very center of the mandala, that enemy is still there. So this is the point. We have to realize that. Now the first, so you see, the real destroyer of our happiness, always there. How to do now? If there is, no possibility, if there is no possibility, you know, to overcome that, to eliminate that, then I can better forget. And I can rely more alcohol, sex, all these things, much better. If there is possibility to eliminate that, then I think now we must take this good opportunity, this is human body, human brain, human good heart, combine these two things. Try to reduce that and eventually eliminate. So therefore, according to Buddhist teaching, our human body is precious. Why? Because of human intelligence. And the shaping or the changing our mind, not only through emotion, but mainly through intelligence, reasoning. And there are two kinds of emotion. One emotion without any reason, just as a fear, such as a hatred of these things. Of course, there are so many shifts of reasons. Well, this person is very, harming on me. And then, through their hands, analyze, see it. But in deep down, the further goes, it's not much the same reason. So it's these emotions, without proper reasons, that's there. negative emotion. And the other kind of emotion, such as compassion, altruism, a kind of emotion, with reasons, and further investigate, you can prove there's something good, there's something necessary, something useful. So that kind of emotion is always a type of emotion, but very much relative to that. Very much go well with reasons or intelligence. So the combination, intelligence and emotion, that's the way to change our inner world. So that also, I believe, the basic fundamental, suffering nature. So long, that enemy there, so long we are under that enemy's control. No permanent happiness. So once you develop some energy, keen desire to overcome that enemy, now that is the
that is the true realization, the aspiration to seek freedom, which is technically called renunciation in the Buddhist language.
So you see, this practice analyzes our emotional level and our inner world. Is it very important? It's a key practice.
Okay. So, we would invite you now to get into a small group, maybe three or four people around you, and introduce yourselves and just begin sharing some of the things that you got, maybe something that resonated from that video. You can also think about these three questions that we put for you, and just kind of get to know each other and kind of work through some of the things you heard in this video. So we'll take a few minutes for that. Okay, friends. Wow, that was so exciting to watch that. Looked like a lot of juicy things bubbling up for you. We could take a couple of comments if there's anything any of the groups would like to share. Right now?
Raise your hand. And
raise your hand. Okay.
So our group, we kind of talked a little bit about ego and how, like, afflictive emotions and how those come up from, like, the ego and how that affects the ego and a lot of times how we're reacting out of that. And do you want to share some more?
No pressure. Okay, let me put it.
Oh, yeah. When we're talking about how we react to things, mm-hmm. it's because we grow up in our society always thinking that it's okay to have, it's all about you and mm-hmm. how you feel and how that person made you feel and that how it's affecting you. But once you take that ego away, mm-hmm. it's not more about you. So you won't start drinking or having sex or doing that because somebody or circumstances mm-hmm. Is not in your favor. Because it's not about you. It's not just about you anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about other person. And that person is acting on her ego. You know, if somebody hurts you, mm-hmm. she's not acting. she's acting in her ego, and you are reacting because of your ego. Mm-hmm. So once you separate that, you know, and you can detach from all the, and you can work on it also. We talk about the self, where your the intentions, like that, finding that balance where you really take care of yourself, and it, because everybody trying to be a better person, but it's the intention that you, why you trying to, why you thinking of your well-being is to help others or to help yourself, and to just for finding that your, just to fulfill your desires. So that kind of finding that balance is important.
So taking cause of suffering from the emotions to where those emotions come from, those afflictive emotions come from. Andre, is that
I think probably others in the group might want to chime in too, but we tackled a couple of things like, can we eliminate it? You know, the cause of suffering. Can we eliminate it, the suffering? And what do we have that makes it possible, right? So I think, and we talked about detachment and renunciation and stuff. I think one of the things, that the mistake that we make with tackling these kinds, you know, these afflictive emotions, is that we look at something like anger. I was using as an example, right? And we focus on conquering the anger, and the anger isn't the problem, right? That's just the emotion. The anger, you know, it's what causes the anger, which is a thought. Right? And so that's what we have to tackle. We have to tackle this thinking that we have. You know? And then we're able to eliminate the emotion, right? Or the energy that's behind that. You know? So can we eliminate it? Absolutely. The Dalai Lama said that if you can't, right, then go ahead and drink and do drugs and party. For His Holiness to say that means that we can't eliminate it, right? He would never encourage, right? You know. And so what do we have that makes it possible to eliminate suffering? Our own minds, right? And our bodies, as Jeff said. That's what we have, you know. And we don't understand the power of the mind, you know, how it can really, we can use that to our benefit and actually attain enlightenment. Yeah. So that's, anyone that?
Thank you. Is there anything else? Oh, one more.
Morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Well, our group, we had a good, quick discussion as far as eliminating the cause, the cause of the suffering was. And I think my group made a good point. They talked about depression and how to eliminate it. And the nice lady next to me, she said something about she gets a good feeling to, like, eliminate her depression by just doing a good deed, helping somebody else. A good point Sir also made was about, see, any thought projected could be expressed. A lot of times what we do, our ego is so big that we think that we're the cause, so we start to try to micromanage. Well, I'm Miss Perfect and things of that nature, and we take the focus off of ourselves because we're trying to be people pleasers. In order to eliminate part of the suffering, is sometimes you have to just let go and get into your higher self. We always submit to our lower self, our gut, and that part of the prayer you showed me today is like, first start here, then take it to your heart. You have to remember that it only takes like 18 inches from your head to your heart. The thought in the heart. If it's a good thought, it comes from the heart. Sometimes you have that zen where you have peace within yourself.
You know? Thank you.
Leading back to
thank you
your comments on our original intention as well. Very nice.
So we just pulled out three points from this teaching, and we know the audio may not be so great in the back, so we just want to make sure you had a chance to hear the words. So for the first question, what is the source of our suffering? His Holiness says afflictive emotions are the ultimate enemy or the source of suffering. All negative actions come out of this afflictive emotion. So this is the real enemy, which is what some of you were just speaking about. Secondly, so the good news is that cessation is possible, right? We can do something about this. The real destroyer of our happiness is always there. If there's a possibility to eliminate that, we must take this good opportunity, human body, brain, good heart, to try to reduce that and eventually to eliminate. So really taking confidence and strength in knowing that we have what we need, right? That's kind of what your comment was. We have this precious human birth. We have a body. We have this ability to reason. And we can apply a reason to look at our emotions and then look between the two different kinds of emotion that arise, ones that are going to lead towards something positive and ones that lead towards something negative for ourselves and others. And finally, there are two kinds of emotions. One without any reasons, just a feeling such as hatred. These are negative emotions. The other kind of emotion, compassion, altruism, is a kind of emotion with reasons. If you further investigate, you can prove it's something good, something necessary, something useful. These kind of emotions go very well with reason, with intelligence. So the combination of intelligence with emotion is the way to change our inner world. And, you know, this helps us reduce that, right, the self-cherishing thought. So His Holiness talked about how that, the self-cherishing thought is with him everywhere, right, even when he's in the middle of a mandala when he's doing the visualization. So we can, I think, also take heart that it's not just us. You know, even he is sharing his struggles with how to dismantle that, the self-cherishing I. So you can take a minute. This is our little humor break. So I'll just describe the comic if we have some people streaming. It is a road race called 10K Text and Run. And you have some really valiant, courageous runners trying to run a road race and text at the same time. And they're not doing so well. So this was just kind of like, this is maybe how I was feeling this week, preparing for this presentation, kind of feeling like you're getting it, and then what am I doing? And just that's how practice can feel. Maybe two steps forward, one step back. Springsteen? Oh, okay. It's Springsteen, too. So just going back to that metaphor of the ship, you know, is it smooth sailing? Like, we may be trying, we're steady building this ship of knowledge, trying to apply the teachings to daily life, but sometimes we can just feel really stuck, like we're not moving. You know, our boat is just feel like we maybe have some big anchor, you know? And so the question I was really thinking about, like, how do we get these winds of unflagging effort? How do we get the winds going? So Aaron talked about things we can do on a holy day. His Holiness talked about, wow, you have what you need. You have this precious human birth. You can do it. I'm doing it. You can do it. And so we also wanted to have you chat a little bit and think about progress you've already made, changes you've already made. It's a way to recall your potential actualized already in your life. So once again, we're inviting you to maybe just talk in dyads for this one rather than a small group. So think about an aspect of yourself that has changed for the better. So it could be about your health or your finances, your independence, relating to others. And think about how you developed that resolve or determination and how that impacted others in your life and any new habits that might have formed from that. So just take a few minutes and find somebody you can talk with. Friends? friend. We do the kid thing.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Once again, that was so exciting to kind of listen and watch and watch you sharing your stories and sharing yourself with others. That was really nice. Is there any, we could take maybe a couple if anybody wants to share something about how they've changed. Big or small way?
Yeah, go ahead, Jill. So I was telling Richard that one thing that you might have seen, I've written it before and I've talked to you guys about it before, but it's so helpful to my mind, is to, we all have the idioms in our culture, so killing two birds with one stone. And so we said it our whole life, and after I started practicing, I said, that's like ki-ki-woo. Like, I just did not want to say that any longer. And I realized it was so ingrained to just say that. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, that's like feeding two birds with one seed. And so so then I just started playing with it. So I let that get cooking and cooking, and I would never, I mean, like, I can't even think of saying it anymore. Mm-hmm. I said it to you, but I did. It hurt. Like, it doesn't want to come out anymore. So I thought, that's fantastic. It changed. And I won't say that again, probably. So then I just started trying to find idioms. Like, that's like peeling skin off an avocado or whatever. I'm bad with metaphors. But instead of saying that's like taking candy from a baby, I have forgot that one. But I just make them up as I go along. So when I get ready to say it, I stop saying it and I just make one up on the fly, which doesn't always work. But it shows me. So if you can stop from what you don't want to do, and then you can, so it's, and you're, it's external, and then it's internal, well, you're still speaking, but you've changed it, and eventually it won't arise. That's the hope. So it shows me that there's a path, and it shows me there's a way out. If I've made that change, then I can make that change.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's a great example.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, maybe we have...
We'll go back and then to the front.
Wonderful. Okay, so ours, Monica and I found something that we have in common that we didn't know before, is that we both have something on our way going out the door. Or for me, coming in the door to our houses, the external doors, to remind us to take a moment and go to that higher self instead of the lower self of your to-dos while you're going out the door. Oh, I'm late. I'm doing this. Oh, I forgot that. So she has a bell, which, you know, marks on her sensory, like her touch, her feel, her auditory and her visual senses, to take that moment to go to a place of peace, you know, for a minute. I have something that I got from my grandparents that's a Jewish tradition. It is a scroll of prayers, similar to what we stuff our stupa with, but you angle it towards the door so that you are reminded that your home is a place of safety and blessing and love, and that, you know, for me, it brings up all the good thoughts that, you know, my grandparents, you know, when I'm with them, I feel like a positive person, I'm a good person, I'm full of all the best things, like they never think anything bad about me, you know. So that kind of thing, you're reminded that you're loved. And so you go out of the house or you come into the house and you're always reminded of that. In Jewish tradition, you just touch it with like two fingers and you just remember that. So anyways, if anybody wants to put a bell by their back door.
Thank you.
Sounds like it worked.
Sorry to share again, but...
Okay.
This is on. Can you guys hear me?
So, hold it down.
Okay, I gotta turn it. Okay. Ignorance, right? So one of the things that I've been doing as of late is really reading Dharma, like, every day. Like, in the morning time, I do it, and then I think about it, and I meditate on it, and that helps me to get my mind more aligned as I go through this insanity that we call samsara in North Carolina and Raleigh. When I, like, leave the door, because, like, I'm good as long as I'm, like, in my apartment, away from people and challenging things in life. But as soon as I walk out of my door, I get, like, really anxious and fearful, and all those emotions start spinning from there, like anger, attachment, desire, da-da-da.
So if I read something in the morning before I leave and I like actually think about that, it kind of sets my day. Mm-hmm. And recently what I've been doing is trying to talk more Dharma with close friends of mm-hmm. mine. So really using the friends that I have that kind of practice this same spiritual guidelines and aspects and know a little bit about that, because that keeps me really right-minded. Whereas if I'm engaging in like divisive speech, I guess you would say, like negative talk, my mind is going to be more apt to go to those negative things. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm more engaged in talking about Dharma and spiritual principles, like my mind is a lot calmer. And for me, like for my mind to be calm is of the utmost importance. Like we were talking in our group, like, yeah, the body is great and everything, but if my mind is out of control, like it doesn't matter how great this stuff looks. Like mm-hmm. if this stuff looks great and I'm insane inside, like I'm a miserable person. And it doesn't matter how much money I have or how much nice clothing I have and how much amazing jewelry and makeup I have. If this is insane, none of that stuff matters for me, because I go through a dark hole mm-hmm. through like spiraling out of control. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we definitely
we have one more. Do we have time for one more? Oh, just pass it straight back.
One more.
To represent you.
Oh yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I changed from when. Earlier in my life, when I was adopted, I never felt loved or like I felt like people understood me, even my brother that was adopted with me. But when I started acting up, skipping school, disrespecting my mom's, and they just, you know, when they put me through a stage where I had to change myself, it made me realize that how much I had compared to maybe some other people, and I should really use that, and I am loved, and people do care about me, and there's more to life than just thinking about what people think of you or anything else, so, mm-hmm. you know, I changed from that, and it's really good to be, to feel that I'm doing good in the world, mm-hmm. I'm doing good with myself, and I just feel way happier than I do, you know, or than I did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Very insightful.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's very insightful, and it sounds like a bit of a practice of gratitude by appreciating what you have, which is, you know, a habit. The more you think like that, the more those thoughts become stronger.
Mm-hmm. So we have a practice too called rejoicing, or admiration is another word. And so just wanted to, you know, we just, so sort of like mentally jumping up and down, enjoy when we hear about others' virtue and other positive actions. So that's something we can think about right now, like, wow, that was just awesome to hear from four people. And all of you had something to share. Right? And so we can just rejoice in all of your positive efforts and your positive changes you've made in your life. So our last part of our session today is to hear once again from His Holiness. And it is a talk about having determination. And so you all have shared the kind of resolve and determination that you've shown in your life. We're going to hear a little bit about having determination on the spiritual path. Okay. So these are three questions. What is His Holiness's advice for making progress on the spiritual path? How can patience towards ourselves help us on the spiritual path? And how do the teachings serve as an inner strength? Okay.
And if someone in the back could hit the lights, that'd be great.
Then another important factor is determination. And you should not think that this development can take place within a few days or a few years. We must understand that the disease development even may take eons. So you say, our determination, if we consider as a Buddhist and a that right from the beginning, you must exceed, make up your mind. Doesn't matter. Even if it takes millions of billions and billions of eons, doesn't matter. After all, what is the purpose of our life? The meaning of this? Nothing. You realize something positive. Then, even you see days and months or eons, it is meaningful. If you are really wasting our life, purpose of our life, then even one day, too long. Once you make up your mind, sometimes a firm determination and a clear understanding, and then time is not important. So they're like the Shatadamas, one of them say, man, the so long space of me, so long standing beings, suffering remains. I will remain in order to serve. Because that sentence really gives me something. All by himself. So the more for those is the intention. And as I mentioned before today, once something is the quickest or best or something, then I can refer also to Buddhist study. The cheapest method, cheapest method, refer with the Buddhist. So that I think wrong. So that I would like to share. So that's why I myself also said, recites some mantra or some visualization, which is a certain mandala. But in my daily practice, although my practice is very poor, but even then, my main emphasis on this Four Noble Truths and Bodhicitta and Karuna. So that really, I feel, is something practical benefit. Then through these practices, you will get something practical benefit. Realization is big deities. Sometimes I think they're cheating oneself. Almost just like this cheating oneself.
Deceiving oneself.
So therefore, I think we must practice step by step. With patience and determination. Once you involve or dedicate or determined facts, then some improvement you can see. You see, year by year, decade by decade, then you can see, or at least some change, some improvement you can see. Once you see that, that also gives you some kind of new encouragement. So see, change is not easy. Okay. So I ask the Buddhist brothers and sisters, that is my talk. And now important thing is, if you consider as a Buddhist, then please implement. Should not remain just on intellectual. The practice or teaching must be part of our life. Part of our life. And not only Buddhist, but the other is practitioner or believer, say it's a Christian, or Muslim, or Jews, whatever your faith. Your faith, if you accept, then it must be part of your life. It is not sufficient just in Sunday attend this church and remain like that. And outside, nothing there. whether you are physical, whether you are cathedral or not, I think the teaching of your own religion must in your heart always. That's very important. Then you get experience of real value. Otherwise, it's just a knowledge here. When you face some real problem, what happens? This is teaching. Once you become part of your life, then the real problem is come contact. Then that teaching gives you inner strength.
Yes, please. Yeah. So there was a lot in that. What about the idea of how long progress and that forward movement might take? Right. Mm-hmm. So thinking like day by day, decade by decade, eon by eon. I looked up the word eon, and it's like a really, really, really long time. That was the definition. Yeah. Did you have a comment?
Is it on? Just short and sweet. I just think it speaks volumes to enjoying every moment because, you know, it's going to take eons. So it's about enjoying every moment and enjoying the progress.
Mm-hmm. It gives me hope. You know, when bad things happen to good people and why are these people born here and all this terrible stuff happens and then they die. Over time, I believe in rebirth, so over time I'll experience all this also, and I can improve. So I'm going to experience rebirth anyway in my mind. So I might as well try to improve and get on the road.
Yes, Donna.
When I first heard that it would take this long, rather than being discouraged, I felt relaxed and relieved because I know how far I am. And, you know, so it's like, okay, I don't have to do it in this lifetime. I'm not going to be able to do it in the next few lifetimes, but I'll get there.
Thank you.
Essentially, what I got from all that is about it's understanding refuge and to use this experientially. And I could just say for me, I know the difference in this lifetime. Just since I've been practicing for a few years, when I'm practicing it, yeah, like things are still there, but I'll roll better with it. When I'm not practicing it, I'm a nightmare. And I was in, and what was really cool, and I saw Venerable Robina last week, and I asked her straight out. I said, you know, I didn't get this till late in life. You know, what's going to guarantee in the next life I'm going to get it early? And she goes, you just keep practicing, keep on trucking, and karma will guarantee it. And it was really nice, and it gave me a lot of hope. So I just thought I would share that.
Thank you.
Just put it near your mouth. Right. I just found it very encouraging that when the Dalai Lama said, once you make your decision, time doesn't matter. And then it sort of resonated with me, like, yeah, because I feel different, and then everything, I'm on the path, and everything's changed.
Who? Raise your hand.
Do you still have a comment?
There.
Okay.
Robert Thurman came to visit us a few years back, and he wrote a book, Infinite Life. And It's a book, if you haven't read it, I think it would be a great book to get on this mm-hmm. topic. He said, when you recognize that you have infinite life, you can relax a little bit, right? You know, it's like we get so uptight and we got to get this right away. This is one of our problems, it's impatience, right? And we keep pushing and pushing and pushing. We get more and more frustrated. But when you realize that I got infinite life, right? So I can get what I can get now. It enables us to be, and what I can't get, I can't sweat that, right? So it really enables us to relax, take it light, go easy on ourselves, mm-hmm. right? And then eventually we get there. So I really believe what the Dalai Lama is right. For me, time doesn't matter because, you know, it's like I don't even wear a watch anymore because I just mm-hmm. don't want to be stuck on time. You know, that's a human construct anyway. You know, so time really doesn't matter. It's what I'm doing this moment, and that's all I got. Mm-hmm. Right? All we got is this moment. We have no idea if we're going to get the next one, right? You know, so I'll do what I can right now to really be positive, compassionate, loving, kind, generous, all these kinds of things, live my purpose, which is to live for the sake of others, and then the rest of the stuff, it takes care of itself, you know.
Yeah. Thank you. I think all those messages of hope and confidence and faith are what we were really hoping that message would mm-hmm. come, how that would come across.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have one more.
One more.
We'll make this the last one.
I think that patience is really important to seeing things objectively, like how they really are, because if you define things by how they are in a single instant, you're not getting the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at like a caterpillar and a butterfly, and you see that they're two different things in that instant, but if you give it time, you see that they're really the same thing. So I think when you are quick to define things, you're just like getting a little picture of how they were at one moment, but it's not mm-hmm. accurate at all.
Mm-hmm. That's a good insight.
Yeah, thank you. So just to sum up, we've gone a lot of different places, but hopefully we've come full circle. From the prayer we originally looked at and thinking about how do we keep our winds of unflagging effort blowing. So how do we keep generating the wind? So we first talked about the holy day coming up. That's a time for purification, creating merit, appreciating our Sangha, having gratitude for the Buddha, the teachings of the Buddha, and our Sangha members. We reflected on the need to address the inner enemy, and that we have what we need. We have a human birth. We have intellect and capacity to develop ourselves and to develop our good heart. And finally, we talked about taking that super long view, you know, being patient with ourselves and being patient with the process and knowing with steady determination and effort and really having that teaching reside in our heart and be an inner strength. We can make progress towards our ultimate goal. So thank you very much for this time together. And we'll move now to our dedication.
So the prayer we're going to read is in this gold book on page 246. The books are behind you. And then we will also say Green Tara for our teachers seven times. So this prayer and then Tara's mantra, Green Tara mantra.
So I'll just draw attention to the last verse. This was the verse that His Holiness referenced in that last video. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Re So Ha.
This is the part where our leaders jump up and make announcements.
Excitement, happiness. Actually, yeah, I am going to talk about something that we should all be really excited about. In 4 weeks, we're going to have an amazing teacher here, and that's Lama Zopa Rinpoche. He's the spiritual director of FPMT, and I was thinking, you know, Karen opened up with talking about all the causes that make it possible for this place to be here and for us to hear these teachings, and Rinpoche is definitely an amazing cause for that, and of course our own karma is also part of that cause, but Lama Zopa Rinpoche and Lama Yeshe started the FPMT. They taught, they attracted many students from the West who learned from them and then went back to their homes and started centers. And Rinpoche is going to be here because he's also teaching a month-long retreat on the lamp of, on the path to enlightenment, which is a teaching by Lama Tisha, who is like the progenitor of our lineage in Tibetan Buddhism. So there's all these connections. And Rinpoche chose to do this retreat and have us host it when he came out here to dedicate this building after we had built it. And one of the great advantages that we have is out of his kindness, Rinpoche knows that not all of us can take some time away from our lives and go up to the mountains and spend a week or 2 weeks, or this year he's offering a whole month of teachings in his presence. So he comes and gives a teaching here the day before the retreat begins. And to put that in perspective, that we've had him come and teach here and then teach in our state so that people here can go for a week or go for a weekend or go for the entire teaching, we don't have to pay for air tickets or anything. You know, we can take some time and just drive up there and see this. There are more than 150 FPMT centers around the world, and there's one Rinpoche. So he doesn't make it to most of them for many, many years on end. And because of his kindness offering this retreat, we've had him here. This will be the fifth time in the space of about 8 years, and that's really an amazing benefit. So all of this takes a great deal of effort. We have a little team that's working on making everything happen on the day that he's here. Linda Saw is heading up that team. She's not here today, but I know they're going to be needing volunteers. So you can come and see me afterwards if you're interested in helping make that day go well. Also, I wanted to let you know, I mentioned that for the retreat, you can register for just a weekend if you're available to do that. You can register for a week, you can register for the whole thing, or you can register for any combination of those possibilities. And registration closes on August 4, which is less than 2 weeks from now. That's a week from this coming Friday. And so you can find links to the registration on our website. And you can talk to me about that. And we also will be needing some volunteers in the next few weeks for things that we're going to do here in preparation for that. So watch your emails. I'm not really able to say too much in detail now because we're still getting our act together, but there will be opportunities to volunteer here. And I do hope if you're not able to do anything else, please do come on Saturday, the 19th of August, when Rinpoche teaches here. It's going to be from 11 to 1. He's going to be teaching on bodhicitta mindfulness. That's the registered topic. Rinpoche often, in his wisdom, knows that there are other things that he should speak about based on the people who are here in the room. But do come and see him. It's really an amazing experience, and you know, you'll be blessed whether you realize it or not just by being in his presence. Thank you.
Christy might have something about...
Oh.
Would there be...
Oh, child care is available, and I'm so glad Christy raised her hand also because... another thing that is happening during that retreat up in the mountains, and Christy had the brilliance to put these two together, is that our family Dharma camp that we do once a year will be happening up there at the retreat site over Labor Day weekend. So, and that registration also closes on August 4, so do take advantage of that. And then, yes, a reminder that we have Chokor Duchen, the Buddhist holiday that marks this amazing thing that happened, which is that this being got enlightened, shared his wisdom, and passed on. We'll be celebrating that on Thursday. The nuns will be leading an animal liberation and blessing at 11 o'clock, and then we'll have a Shakyamuni Buddha Puja, which is just a prayer service. Puja is kind of a scary word, but it's just we all get together and we pray together and generate some cool energy. Yeah, and party, yeah. And I think Jill has words for you, too.
Okay, so Elise is not here today, so I thought I'd throw a little blurb in for outreach. There's so much going on. You can see it on our website and the bulletin and this week, all in the communication wall. So let's see, Patty, it's called Rise for Hunger. Does that sound right? So that's something that you have to register for, and Elise really wanted you to know that it's August 1st. Yeah. So it's about packing food, and I don't even actually know it's the result of it. Where's the food going? Do we know that? Yeah. So
typically it's international. That organization, I believe, works a lot internationally, and so they'll...
Okay. Oh, yeah, food to go abroad. That's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So anybody who wants to help, if you can just go to the links, the banners on our website, and register for it, that would be great. There's an interfaith building community talk, so you can see that. I may have the banners down, but you can find it, and you can call here if you can't find it. The Love Notes Project is continuing. They just reached over 700 letters going out, so that is amazing. To people with at Meals on Wheels. So that's beautiful. And now she started with another church, the eyeglass collection. So I understand it can also be readers and just any prescription glasses. They will reuse them, do whatever they need to get glasses to other people. So the Lama Tisha statue sponsorship continues on. We're not sure of how much we're to raise because the numbers are still kind of Tibetan style. So we're thinking maybe over 20,000, 25,000, but we're not quite sure. So the reason, you heard a little bit about Lama Tisha, Donna just mentioned it. So he's so key to our center because of these teachings coming through from India to Tibet and making them succinct. So the way I understand it, if I'm right, is these sutras were distilled down into 88 verses, over 80 verses, by Lama Tisha. So 84,000 sutras down to verses. I mean, it's really kind of cool. Reader's Digest, condensed version. So that's the lamp on the path. And then, and that was about an 800, somewhere around in there. And about 1401, I think, Lama Tsongkhapa, featured in the middle under the Buddha, took those verses and made it into the commentary that we study, the Lamrim Chenmo. So without those verses making things succinct for us, it would be very difficult for us to understand the sutras. So it's just an amazing process, and his followers are called the Kadampas. And it's a really strong connection to our center, obviously. And it will go right here. Just want to give you a little visual. The altar will go this way, and then the cabinetry will come this way, and he will be right here. So the thing I think is beautiful is when Geshe-la walks in that door, he'll be looking right at him. And I did get a sneak peek of it, I have to admit, and it's like, I just squealed. I really did squeal. It was so shocking. I didn't expect the picture, so it caught me off guard. It's very shiny and pretty.
and it's being painted. It's gorgeous. And so I think the red hat and the clothing, everything will eventually be here.
I think it's on the way.
It's on the way, so it's being shipped. So that's just thrilling. So if you'd like to be part of it, you can go on the website and find this information out. You can be a donor or a sponsor, so any amount's wonderful. And drum roll, who wants to do it this week, where we're at? Thank you. We're at $13,920. So I think that is amazing. So it's, we may have crested over to 14 since I didn't check any numbers. But anybody who'd like to be part of it, you can just write on your check, put it in the box. Any way you'd like to do it, we'll make it happen. Thank you. That is it.
Thanks, everybody.
Ria?
We're all done.